Mike Wilkening from Pro Football Talk joins us. Mike, how are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you doing this afternoon?
Well, I was doing great until I found out that it's cubicle day. Now I'm just laughing about the opportunity to rise above the conformist standards. Do you guys have cubicles at Pro Football Talk?
I work from home, so from my standpoint, I have a home office. I don't have a cubicle, but as the saying is, every cubicle has its day, I suppose. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's a wonderful thing. That we have the opportunity as people to think up these days. That's a great thing. I think it's a wonderful one.
It seems everybody's agreeing who Tampa is going to take number one overall in Winston. Do you think number two then? Is Mariota going number two for sure, Mike?
It makes the most sense because I think that the Titans are in a position where they can either take him or move the pick for a bundle. And I think that would be the only outcome that would make sense to me. If they didn't take him there, I'd be really curious to see. And they didn't trade, I'd be very curious to see what they did. I would assure you that whomever they take it to, if it's not Mariota, they will say this prospect was number one on our board. I mean, I can guarantee you they will say that. I mean, because they clearly would be passing on the quarterback and all of those things. So from my standpoint, I think the quarterback makes the most sense. I think they do have still a bit of a need there. And, you know, I think that, you know, to me, that just makes – that's the logical choice of all of the ones available with Tennessee.
Who is the most likely to be this year's version of a guy who is ranked high but then plummets down the draft board?
Well, I think you have to look at positions where there's a number of players available. I think that, you know, it's possible a receiver or two could tumble just because I think there are a lot of options available. You know, it's possible that a running back could fall. It's possible that a Melvin Gordon might slide or somebody like that just because I think there are a lot of backs that people like. And, you know, I know Gordon's been discussed as a first-round guy. You know, and Todd Gurley looks like he's going in round one from all accounts. You know, I guess, you know, once Gurley's off the board, the question is who wants to be the team to step in and take the second back? You know, there are a lot of them that can play in this draft. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see. So, yeah, I think those are the two positions that stand out just because of the plethora of options, I think, at those positions.
Mike, when you're looking at your teams that are going to draft in the top 10, which team is under the most pressure to not screw up this draft? You look at the Giants, of course, they either win the Super Bowl or miss the playoffs. The Falcons had a disappointing season. Out of teams within the top 10, who really can't afford to mess this draft up?
I think the Titans. I think, you know, frankly, I think the Jaguars. I mean, I think, yeah, the Jaguars at some point have to turn this around. I mean, they've kind of for 2 years here really not gone on with it. I mean, they've improved their core, but they haven't been, you know, they really haven't been, you know, a greatly competitive team. You know, at some point, you got to sell something that you're improving, and I think it's there if you look. But my goodness, at some point, you need to make a leap from like 3 to 4 wins to 6 or 7. You got to give a little bit more, I think, to sell here. You know, Oakland's another team, you know, with Reggie McKenzie. I think this is a big draft. Atlanta is big. I know they have a new coach, but their front office, adding Scott Pioli there, I think that, you know, that's a team you keep an eye on. And St. Louis. St. Louis is a better example of Jacksonville. St. Louis has got more talent than Jacksonville, but they have similar problems in that, you know, this is not a game where you're scored on how much talent you've got or how much blue chip talent you've got. You got to outscore the other team. They've had a hard time doing that. You know, I at some point here, they've got to do something. They've got to take a big step forward. So those are the teams that jumped out to me, and obviously Tennessee and Tampa Bay because of the quarterbacks. But, you know, you start going down this top 10, there are a few other teams that probably have some pressure on them.
Mike Wilkening from Pro Football Talk joins us. Mike, the New York Jets had a very interesting offseason. New GM, new head coach, Darrell Revis, Antonio Cromartie coming back. They hold the sixth overall pick. What do you think the New York Jets have planned for that pick?
I think they're one of the more interesting teams in the top 10 because they have a new general manager and a new coach. I think you can make the argument that they could go, you know, six, you know, any number of positions. I think they're a trade down prospect. I think they're, you know, a team that could go any number of ways defensively, you know, in the front seven. They obviously addressed the corner position in free agency, which would suggest that they wouldn't go there. But, you know, defensive front seven, you know, would stand out to me. And I think they're still a team that, you know, as I look at them, they're still a team that needs to get a little bit more dynamic offensively. So at some point, you're going to have to figure them to be a team that adds somebody that's either going to be, you know, a top three or top four pass catcher for them, and or, you know, even adding a tailback where, I mean, I think they've got some options, but they just need to get better, I think, frankly, on that side of the ball.
Mike, a few teams, and I guess one player, of course, with what happened, Shane Ray. What does he drop right out of the first round now?
Well, it doesn't help, certainly. And I think that what it does is it probably makes teams it hurts him in these coin flip situations, I think. I mean, once you start going down the board, I mean, once you get past a certain point, you say, well, why hasn't this player been selected? And it's, well, this has got to be the place where this player goes. You know, once you see a guy start to slide, the slide sometimes starts to deepen, where teams just say, okay, we're, you know, this is either something we didn't expect or we're just not going to take on the uncertainty here. That's the real problem for Shane Ray, is he's going to lose coin flips now in the room. I mean, in the sense that it's, well, you know, boy, Ray's here. We didn't expect that, but boy, you know, and every team, I'm sure, has done their due diligence here. But, you know, now, I mean, do you really want to weigh this? And if he's similarly graded to somebody, do you want to get up there on Thursday night and have to explain why you did what you did? And so you start to, he's now on the wrong side of the coin in those decisions. And that's a problem. I mean, there are no silver linings to pull out of this right now.
What, you know, I know Mark talked about which team can't screw it up, though, but, you know, lots of teams have had much more success historically at the draft than other teams. You know, some teams will go, I know New York has had a long time success drafting offensive linemen from the Midwest, for instance. It's kind of interesting when you break things down. There are teams like the Raiders, it doesn't matter who they draft. You know, the player is going to have all sorts of problems. Cleveland has right now two picks in the top 19, number 12 and number 19. Do you think they make both picks? And do you think that's an organization that can make two right picks?
I think the answer to me would be, if I had to guess, I'd say no to the first one and yes to the second. I think that their 2014 draft was, some highs and lows. They didn't do well in round one. With Gilbert and also Manziel, but Joel Bitonio, who they selected later in the draft, is a pretty good player. And, it looks like a longtime fixture at guard for them. So I think they have, from an evaluation standpoint, I think they know what they're doing. I think they have a sense of what they're looking for. But they clearly kind of swung and missed on those two first rounders. Now, about round one, and then being a 12 and 19, there were five first-round trades last year. The Browns were involved in three of them. They traded down out of four and picked up the number one that they're going to use this year, the Buffalo's number one for Watkins. They traded up for Gilbert, which did not work out, and they traded up for Manziel, giving up a third-round pick in the process. So they have shown, at the very least, that they're willing to build bridges and pick up the phone and call somebody about making a deal. To me, they're more likely, if they're going to make a deal, I would think that they would be more likely be somebody that would be moving up for one impact guy as opposed to two guys in a draft that isn't as good as last year.
That was my next question. What is the major weakness in this draft compared to last year?
Well, I think that there are certain positions, where it just isn't, as deep. I think that, tight end-wise, there isn't as much depth in this class. That's what generally has kind of been said here. And looking at some of the other positions, I think corner is kind of deep, not maybe as much as last year. Safety, I think people are looking for safeties. You're always looking for guys that can cover. And this year, I don't think there are as many options available. You've got Landon Collins, but, to me, those are a couple of positions that stand out particularly. I think the depth is better in some spots, but I think we're going to look back at last year and look at the quality, particularly, at the receiver position and say, this was just an uncommonly good draft. We've heard some really nice things said about this draft class receiver wise, but, if there's somebody in the same ballpark as Beckham here, then that would be something. And Beckham was the third guy and Mike Evans was pretty special too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think when it comes down to it, I think this is a year there's probably a little less top tier talent. And that means to me, the teams, if you're going to want to get somebody, you're going to be more maybe apt to move up. So I think maybe there's more action this year in round one.
How much of a gap between Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley at running back?
Wonderful question. Because I think it's a very interesting one in the sense that we're talking about a guy in Gurley who's less than a year removed from an ACL tear. And it's a miracles of modern science that we're talking about a guy that this is an injury that is, by all accounts, one of the more serious ones you can have. And he is going to be a first round pick by all accounts. And that there's really not a ton of concern. I think that's a great, to me, that's the thing that brings a smile to my face, because That's a great thing for all of us, that guys can recover that quickly off the surgery. Now, that said, it's still an ACL. I think you kind of worry a little bit. Gordon doesn't have that. But, I think Gurley at his best has been very well regarded. And, I think probably has the edge as a player. They're different backs. Gurley, the more physical guy. Gordon, kind of the home run hitter type. I think they're both first rounders. I think with Gordon, he's somebody that, you could immediately plug in and have him be a 240, 250 touch guy that I think really can generate, some punch for an offense. Whereas Gurley, I think, might be 150, 200 carries in year one. Because I think whomever drafts him, I think has to be looking, frankly, towards the end of this year and 2016. I would bet you we're going to see a whole ton of stories with whoever drafts him about 2016 being the year that he finally had a full off season. He was able to do all the work he needed to do. I think he might be a guy in 2016 that we see in the Pro Bowl, not this year.
One last one for you, Mike. You mentioned, the receiver position for a lot of our fantasy players. Most say that, Amari Cooper is the best receiver in this group. Then you've got Kevin White and Devontae Parker and other ones. Which one do you think, Nelson Aguilar as well? I guess maybe it depends on which team they go to. Or who do you think is the one who's best suited to be a good fantasy football player?
The guys that jump out to me are Cooper, coming out of Alabama. There have been raves about Kevin White, so I think he's another one to keep an eye on. But I'd probably say Cooper first. White would also be in there. I think Green Beckham is going to be very interesting, because Green Beckham could be a guy that if he could end up being somebody that has like a 40 catch, 10 touchdown year. I think he could have a Martavis Bryant type year where you don't draft him because you say, well, you know, you're going to see stories out of camp. Well, he's getting into football shape and all those things. And then about week 10, he catches two touchdowns. And the Tuesday morning, you know, everyone's refreshing the page saying, did we get him? Did we get him? I think Green Beckham is going to be the did we get him, happy Thanksgiving, we added him to the team, and now we're going to win it all sort of guy. I think he's the late impact guy maybe in this class.
And one quick last one. Which team moves up? What's the first team to trade up in the draft?
You know, there have been reports, there have been a couple reports linking Atlanta to moving up. You know, the Journal Constitution, NFL Media both reported. Those are, you know, two good reporters. I would tend to think there's something there. And from just a logic standpoint and nothing there in terms of anything being reported, I think Cleveland makes sense just because I think at some point, particularly if Mariota's there, if he slides, I just think at some point this is a team that I think is desperate for good feeling and I think wants to hit a home run. And probably, again, they had the two first-rounders last year, and what did they get out of it in a deep draft? They really didn't get a lot of impact. This is not as deep a draft. I think if you think there's a guy that's a blue chipper, you go get him because you've got the two picks to do it.
Mike, great stuff. Enjoy the draft. Appreciate your time.
Same to you, gentlemen. Take care.